if I see or sense the Spirit is moving us to a time of prayer or testimonies or something like that, I would rather just go with it so we don't miss it. And if we missed it, then people still got prayed for. You know? So, and I made the comment that it's okay because we can just pick up where we left off last week because we're not a church that has a new program every week. You know, wherever we left off, we're still with it, we'll go with it. And it was on hospitality. And I had shared some characteristics of hospitality. And we had read from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 out of the Amplified Bible. So that got recorded, and so you can catch the rest of that if you go to the Renewed Life in Jesus website. You can find it on your phone, and you can play it back and hear it. But today I would like to go to, because it was interesting what different writers had spoke about hospitality. And so I kind of put some in that each of them had said, including Jesus, so that we maybe can better relate to all the different aspects of hospitality. Generally, we think about it as having one another over for supper or lunch or doing something like that, like the ride you took. You know, that shows hospitality because she had a chance to jump out of the car. She didn't like what you said. And the other, oh, the one. Oh, you could have jumped out. But it takes on a lot of things that we maybe oftentimes overlook and not recognize it. And that's why I like to do a lot of these things with body ministry, because sometimes we don't realize something is happening until it's so blatantly open that we recognize it. And so we talked from what Peter said, but James really, it is written that he was Jesus' other brother. I mean, literal brother. Mary had more kids than Jesus, so the Pope would probably flip out in the Vatican if somebody gave him a revelation of that fact, that Mary had other kids. Because the Bible takes preeminence over a Pope or anybody else. But anyway, he spoke these words from chapter 2. He also talked about pure religion and undefiled. He had a real heartbeat for reaching hurting people. And he said, from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, and I'm reading it out of the Amplified, and I believe Angie may have it available on the screen. Yep, so if you don't have the Amplified, you can kind of look at yours and compare it. I won't go so fast that you won't have time to do that. What is the benefit, my fellow believers? This is Brother James talking to us. If someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence, can that kind of faith save him? No, a mere claim of faith is not sufficient. Genuine faith produces good works. And I want to stop there before anyone misunderstands that. There's a part of us in the flesh, or perhaps the old nature, that we believed if we could do a lot of good stuff, then God would show grace and save us. Well, James isn't talking about that. He's talking about the good things that come through your life after you're saved, because now you know the truth. Your life has been renewed, made new, regenerated, whatever word, born again. And so anything good that comes from you now comes from the new man that you are in Christ, and so those are good works. And it doesn't happen to gain God's favor, because we already have his favor. And you always have to remember that we already have his favor. These are things that we're just aware, we see something that needs to be done, doing kind things, speaking good things, seeing, learning to discern where there's a need, and just being free to flow in that. That's part of hospitality. It's using the gifts, the skills, and the talents that God has put inside of each one of us in the body of Christ and use them to benefit the kingdom. And also, of course, for the person that you show that kindness to. I don't want to go any more to say about the priest, but those prayers, I could have got religious. I mean, you all know Pentecostal prayers. And I could have bound that spirit of ugliness in him and that spirit of anger and done all kinds of wild, crazy stuff in the bowling alley. But I sensed in my spirit, it was when he asked would I pray for him, there was an unwavering thing down inside of me. I wanted him. My real desire was that he would know the God that he worshiped through religion would be Father to him, Abba Father, like Paul's revelation, that he would come to know him as Father. And so I didn't even pray in Jesus' name. I just said, Father, out of our relationship with him, would you help Paul roll a good ball? And I thank you for it. And, you know, three times that happened that night. And then that's when I said, you're on your own now. I just left that. I didn't ever go back to that. And sometimes I think that we miss opportunities. It's absolutely true to be a blessing, to have a word of kindness to somebody. Or it doesn't have to be something really big. But James is talking about don't overlook opportunities. There are a lot of people around us that if they cracked a smile, it would fall off their skull. I mean, it's sad, really, when you sense by the Holy Spirit, you have a sadness inside sometimes about times that you see people and you know people and they seem so distant because they seem unreachable. And I was like that with Don. Don and I knew each other as kids. But the night he got saved, I wanted no more part of him. He's off my list. You know, I didn't even pray for him. I wasn't there. And so when I read what James is talking about, genuine faith produces good works. In other words, it comes from within the spirit man, the new you in Christ. Not salvation faith. That happened before. And so, if a brother or sister, now he goes on to expound. So listen to what his perspective. If a brother or a sister is without adequate clothing and lacks enough food for each day, and one of you says to them, go in peace with my blessing, keep warm and feed yourselves, but he does not give them the necessities for the body, what good does that do? So too, faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead or inoperative and ineffective. He didn't say we didn't have it. Catch that. It's inoperative. It's laying dormant. We have it. But it's got to be, we have to be the catalyst to activate it, if you will, to come out of being afraid of what somebody might say or what they might think about praying in public for somebody and you get a big audience. That's good. That's an opportunity. But, you know, Barb started this about talking about this particular body. Faith and I have been here from the beginning, and we have never used our position to make stuff happen. I don't ever want to ever have to do that. The only time that ever happened, really, was when a couple came in here and I was praying with people in the center aisle because all the people up here were on the floor. And she came in and she gave me a karate kick in the stomach and was barking like a dog. Well, I had to do something about it. Otherwise, I don't get all that concerned about stuff that happens. You know, we're growing in Christ, and some of the manifestations we see, maybe somebody missed it, but we got to have the opportunity to learn and not shut those things down. So she was just one of the people that was there for prayer, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that barking spirit to come out of you. Be loosed in Jesus' name. She quit barking. She got down on her hands and knees and crawled right through that row where Don and Marlene are sitting, and she laid like a dog between the air conditioner window and that other one, and never made another sound the whole rest of the service. And we lost 10 people left the church out of that, and a couple of them were part of our board. And I was called on the carpet to give an account the next week as to what was all that. And I said, I didn't do anything wrong. I just came back from India. We cast out demons as easy as eating breakfast. Boom. In the name of Jesus, do it, and they're gone. So once again, I'm very much a promoter of the freedom we have in Christ. And it's a biblical New Testament church. Go and read it for yourselves if you never have. Go to what Paul said about when the church comes together. Every one of you has a song, a psalm, a hymn, a testimony, something that's going to edify and build up the body. And we're great encouragers of that, but that scares a lot of people who want to maintain control. I don't want to trust that person. I have no idea what they're going to say. Well, don't worry about it. If they blow it, speak to them privately afterwards and say, maybe we should revisit that. But you won't see me stopping something unless it's really something drastic. That was definitely demonic. And so, but the hospitality part, the missions fund, to help somebody in our congregation go on a missions trip. We've done that for years. And that's the one offering I often get reminded that I forgot. But it's there. The one for the Bibles. Nobody knew that last week, and I didn't even know until it was time to be here. And somebody said, I'd like to give to that, but I didn't come prepared. Hospitality is seeing a need and doing it. How many of you have more than one Bible at home? There you go. What about $4.13 will buy one for somebody that's never had one and may never have one? Is it not a worthwhile investment to sow to their spiritual need? So we're learning to think like that. And so as with this opening scripture, it's just part of that hospitality flow. There are so many ways that hospitality manifests itself that oftentimes we just think about going to each other's houses and having a meal. Not to say that's bad. It's very good. But think bigger. You got to learn to think bigger in the kingdom. And so that's our opening scripture. And I'll come back and we'll share some more that goes with this after Huggy break. But that's also a very important part of the worship service. And it bothers people who are used to a 40-minute or 45-minute. All the scriptures we're going to speak are in the bulletin, and all the songs are in the bulletin we're going to do. We don't keep a bulletin weekly. It's monthly. I never know what's going to happen from one week to another. We just show up, and it happens. And I kind of like that. So anyway, Huggy break is important. The fellowship is precious. From God's word, he said, be ye holy as I am holy. And I would go on to say, he doesn't tell us to try to be. He says be. And you are because of his blood. So don't try to be something, just be. You already are. He's already made you holy. And now just walk in it. Amen. We can come boldly. That's correct.
Because of
the blood. Yes. Mm-hmm. We're of the same spirit as the Lord. Isn't that awesome? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. So I want to continue now with hospitality. And this is something that Jesus spoke. In Mark chapter 9, verse 41. Amplified. If you have it in the King James, it doesn't change a lot in this particular verse. But it says, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink, because of your name as followers of Christ, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, he will not lose his reward. A drink of water. I remember at home one day I get started on cutting the grass. You get all hot and sweaty, but I'm probably like a lot of you guys. You just go until you get it done. And it was one of those days, And Faith brought me out a glass of cold water. And I stopped cutting just long enough to drink that water. But the impact of what it did, it made me think of this verse. And you might not have thought much about it. You saw me out there sweating, and I just don't mind that really generally. That summertime, I don't mind. I have to get all dressed up for winter. I don't mind sweating a bit when summer's here. But just, she brought out a glass of water at a time when I should have gone in the house and taken a break, and I didn't. And when Jesus spoke those words, that's not a small thing. It might be small in our eyes, but it isn't if it caught Jesus' attention and he actually mentioned it. So Jesus most of the time walked. And it's hot in Israel in the summer. There's a lot of dusty dirt roads, a lot of places where he went. And I'm quite sure that if anyone had gone to him with a cup of water to refresh his journey, that's how important it is to him. And I've never forgot that, Faith. Never will. Another aspect of hospitality, something that we might think small, but it isn't. And I have one from the Apostle Paul to the elders at the Ephesian church. And this is from the book of Acts, chapter 20. Luke also wrote the book of Acts, but he's writing from some things that Paul said. So when you see things that Paul said, Luke is actually the writer. And Paul was the speaker. In everything I showed you by example, that by working hard in this way, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed and brings greater joy to give than to receive. And if you read more of Paul's writing, you will also find there were times when outwardly he seemed to have nothing, and then there were times when he had plenty. But what did he say? He used the word, I am content. When I have much, and I'm content when I have little. And also, he was a tent maker by trade at one time in his life. And when he was lacking, he had no problem doing something tangible with his hands, working to provide for himself. And I will tell you point blank, there were times at this church in the beginning and along the way, I never wanted to make the mistake of looking to the church to meet my needs. It always has to be the Lord. We cannot limit God by something that we see. Let God be the judge of that. And there were times right out of nowhere, I'd go out to my car and find money in my boots in my car. Someone would walk up to me at Huggy Break and said, the Lord told me to give you this. There were times a paint job would just suddenly appear that didn't conflict with any church activities, and I could go and do that. And it's been this way for 36 years. I don't ever want to make the mistake of ever saying that I am helpless, oh woe is me, feel sorry for me. Paul didn't have that attitude either. He did something about his situation. And so can each one of us. It's not wrong for us to help one another. And I'm very thankful for all those times. But I'm using those as examples of how during those times, and many never even knew that was going on behind the scenes, because we didn't go around and say, well, we didn't get this from the church this week, and that didn't come in the mail, and blah, blah, blah. Nobody wants to hear that. We just have learned to wait quietly on the Lord for his provision. And Jesus will make sure, or the Lord will make sure, that you'll be provided for when you have need. And it may come through your brothers and sisters, It may come through somebody else. You might get money in the mail from somebody that was thinking about you that day. There's so many ways. But I can't tell you how it was so cool to go outdoors and leave here that Sunday and go out. Because I usually take my snow boots off outside and just come in my stockings and put my shoes on. And I'd go back out that way and go to stuff my foot in my boot and couldn't because it made all this crunchy noise. And somebody had gone out there and stuffed some money in that boot. I don't know who did it. I'll never know. And please don't tell me if it's one of you. I'm just thankful because, you see, God, through hospitality, another aspect of hospitality is giving and sowing where there's a need and being prompted to do so. When don't question it, just do it. That's all I can say is if he's inspired you to do that, just do it. And don't even question it, because that's one of the many ways that God provides for every one of us in this room. Don't look to him and put him in a shoebox as to how he can do it. And it comes back to Jeremiah's liver. When we prayed, we just thanked God for a new liver for our son. We didn't really revisit that. Every once in a while, he had have issues, and we would just basically say, thank you, Father, for Jeremiah's new liver. Well, he got one. But we never told God how to do it or where to get it from. And so when you find needs in your personal lives, always just be thankful that God's got you covered. And you'll find that you'll see his hand of provision. And also, Paul talked about seed time and harvest. It's important for us, even as hospitality, make sure that we're sowing good seeds. And there are people that just love to give. They just give. That's one of their gifts. They give. Faith and I knew somebody in Florida. Everywhere he went, him and his wife, they just drove around looking for places to give. And that was their ministry, and they never ran out. It's a phenomenal thing. And hospitality, however that manifests in your life, it's God has given us these things so that we can be a blessing to others. And when you see the body of Christ at large and how you see the importance of each person in the body of Christ in a very different way, they're not just someone you come to church with for a couple hours and then we go home. No, they're an integral part of a living organism called the body of Christ. And God has equipped every single one of us, not only here but worldwide in his body, with things that they've been given by the Lord to be able to share with others. And I experienced that on every missions trip. I stayed in with families that lived through 40 years of communism and slept on the floor because that was the place they gave me to sleep. And I was very happy. That was one day I was given a little cup of yogurt, and I hadn't learned the trick of pulling the tab from the backside. But you know, sometimes we think it's got to be something big and we miss it, and it really isn't. A lot of people in Eastern Europe had goats, cattle. They made their own farm products because under communism they weren't allowed to have hardly anything. And their heat, they put them all in El Cheapo, domino-type socialist housing. And one day we were driving down the road with Jesse's grandpa, and I noticed this really big pipe that went along the highway for miles and miles and miles. And I found out that coming back, I never realized where it started and where it ended, but it came from a huge coal-generated thing that provided heat. And it came to those apartments. Nobody was allowed to have any property. And they were so tiny. the bathroom was in the kitchen. They were all enclosed, scrunched up, I mean, really tight. You lived like a little cookie cutter under socialism. Everybody's the same. They're all poor. That's equality under socialism. And so when somebody comes to stay in their house, you get the best. It's just something they do. But I want to come back to that heat pipe. If you don't kowtow to the communist doctrines and you start to rebel, they wait until the coldest night of the winter and shut off the heat to the whole building and freeze you into submission. So appreciate your electric space heaters. Appreciate your air conditioning. Appreciate what we have, because it can be gone just like that. And always, always, always look to the Lord, because He is our provider. But we can't look at who. Leave that up to the Lord, because He only picks the willing ones. So if you're not willing, don't worry. He won't pester you too much. But learn to add that to your repertoire. James talked about walking in faith. But I saw that firsthand. And sometimes in India, Sherrard's family, he had 5 kids, and they were living in 2 rooms. And when I came to stay there, they all slept in 1 room so that I could have the other room. And I slept on the floor. But it was fine. You have straw mats. But when you see in our eyes people who live desperately day by day, and yet you come into fellowship with them, it is so amazing to see how willing they are to do whatever it takes to provide for you while you're there. The food, I never got fed so good in all my life on mission trips. And I came home and told Faith how good all the food was in India. And now she's got some Indian recipes that she makes. And we've experimented on you downstairs a few times. We have to find your right spice level. But once we get it, you know, it might be too hot for some of you. But we have to learn if that's the food they have, and you're one extra mouth in the house to feed, they tighten up to feed you. And that's some hospitality things that I've personally experienced, about finding money in my boots and my truck and people giving you all the time just to stuff. But it always comes at a time of need, and the Holy Spirit is very sensitive to that. So be in tune with Him about that. If He prompts you to do something or to give something, don't be like Joyce Myers when she bought a brand new outfit and put it in her closet and the Lord told her to give it to somebody. She hadn't even worn it yet. She's told that story many times. Well, she finally fought with God long enough and ended up giving it to somebody, and she got really blessed because of it. So anyway, I'll end with that today. The next one is some things that John wrote about in 1 John. Because it takes on a pattern. You'll find that it takes on a pattern of Christianity that we don't really talk much about. But I like it when the Spirit gives me things like that to dig a little deeper than just coming and hanging out together and singing songs and then we go home. There's such a treasure if we could start seeing each other as God sees us and experience the members of His body as He sees us. Oh my gosh, you'd be amazed at how much more you can grow in faith and in grace. You won't have as many bad thoughts about somebody, and you'll just kind of find these things, they just kind of fall off like scales off a fish. And the real pure you begins to show even more and more. So I'll stop there for today, and we'll see if the Lord will continue this next week. Does anyone have need of prayer today, this morning, while we're here?